Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
Hey, when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, he tried more than 2,000 experiments before he got it to work. When asked how it felt to fail so many times, he said, "I never failed once. I invented the light bulb. It just happened to be a 2,000-step process." I think that is a great attitude to have. To be honest, every single one of us are in process. Every single person in this room, from a child all the way to a senior, is in process. We have a call of God on our lives, and attached to the call of God of every single person's life is a process and a journey that God takes us on. John 15, verse 1 to 2 says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." See, you were called not just to survive the Christian life, you were called to bear fruit. Your life is meant to make a difference. You're here for a reason, to be a blessing to other people, to impact your family, your friends, everyone around you should be blessed because of your life. We're called to bear fruit. But in order to go from the place of a seed all the way to a fruit-bearing tree, there's a process. As much as we would like to plant a seed, click our fingers, and then a tree forms and then starts to produce, it just doesn't work. God hasn't designed it that way. He's designed that there would be a process along the way. I don't know if you have a phone or a MacBook or something, but when on your phone, when you click on one of those, you know, you want to respond to someone or you want to see a picture or something comes up, and that loading image comes up where it's kind of spinning around and around and around, and you think, man, if you're anything like me, you're impatient with that. It's like, how long have I been waiting? 5 seconds? And we just want to see it happen straight away. With our walk with God, this generation, people living today, we hear from God and we expect by Friday everything settled. I want it all done. I want everything that you've promised me, every dream, I want it to happen on my watch at this time. Unfortunately, God puts us on a process. You can ignore it, get frustrated by it, act like it's not there, but it's there. If you're going to thrive in the process, there's one thing you can't do is rush the process. This gets me into trouble all the time. See, he speaks to you. Maybe God speaks to you through the word, through worship, in church. And then he takes you on this journey. And in the process, what's happening is he is preparing you. And if you skip steps in the process, especially out of season, it's dangerous. You will miss out on the purposes that God has for you and maybe the opportunities he's going to bring your way if you bail out too quick or you skip a stage that God is taking you on. He's giving you strength to sustain what he will release to you. And when we rush it, ultimately, what happens is we don't get the results that we desire and we don't end up where we see God bringing us. See, there's certain things in our lives that we can't rush. My wife is a better cook than I am. And you think, no way, surely you're an amazing cook. I like to claim that I'm the Jamie Oliver of Thailand, but it's untrue. I do get excited when I go home and I think, wow, I'm going to cook an amazing meal for my family. It doesn't happen very often, but once in a while, I feel that feeling. And I get the chicken and I get the veggies and the oil's going and I got the buble in the background and I'm excited. This is going to be a great night. The kids are going to love the music. You know, the food is going to be amazing. So I got all the onions are cooked. The smell is incredible. And I get so excited about this meal that I probably get too excited and I start cooking before I've really paid attention. Does anyone else do this? Or maybe it's just me. And halfway through, I realize, oh no, I forgot one of the steps. I should have read the recipe more closely and realized what I needed to do. And the reason why the meals that I cook don't taste quite as good as my wife's is because I skip steps. And I try to rush the process. And when her meals come out, it's like, ah, this is good. You have done this process well. See, in our lives, if we try to rush it, if we try to skip steps, we will miss out on getting the results that God has in store for us. I don't know if you're like me, but I have always can justify skipping steps to God. God, this is for the kingdom. Like, I want to support my family. Don't you want this to happen? And I can justify all of these things because I have a way that I see this panning out. But for some reason, God isn't that interested in the way I see everything panning out. He has his own plan. He has a purpose for my life. And if I follow his process, he will take me to an incredible place in God. God is very old and slow. He's not in a hurry. He's not worried and frantic about your future, your job prospects, your family. He has it in control if you would learn to trust in God. See, Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest." Here it is. If we do not give up, the harvest is there. God will provide. God will bring that thing to pass if you do not give up. When you're in the middle of the process, don't throw in the towel. Some of you, maybe you won't hear anything else. You just heard something about Jamie Oliver and you just heard, don't give up. Maybe you've come to church today just to hear wherever you are in the journey. Maybe you walked in saying, that's it. I'm giving up on this area of my life. I'm giving up on that thing. And God would say to you, don't throw in the towel. You're in the middle of a process where I'm building something on the inside of your life. Why don't we give Jesus a big hand? See, the enemy can whisper doubt into your head and say, your family's finished. Your marriage is over. Your business is struggling. Look at what's happening in your study. Look at this area of your life. And you start to believe maybe this is the end. But that's not the voice of God over your life. That's not heaven speaking to you. That's not his Holy Spirit. That's the enemy trying to sow doubt into your future. God has something significant in store for your life. What do you do when the dream inside you isn't matching up to the reality in front of you? It can be sensible to quit. You can weigh up all the odds and think, this seems like the right idea at the moment. It will just be easier on everyone if I just give up. If I just stop in this area of my life. But I believe that today in your life, in areas in our lives, that God's asking us, don't quit. God is working behind the scenes even when you don't see him. There's things that God will do in you, behind the scenes, battles that he's fighting on your behalf that at the moment you have no idea about. And if you stick with God, if you progress with God and say, God, I'm not bailing out on what you're doing inside of me through this journey, I'll continue on. God will bring about incredible things for your life. See, God is more interested in what you're becoming than what's happening to you. He often allows trials, troubles, problems in life to teach you diligence, determination, and character. The problem that you and I might be facing right now, the hurdle, could be a test of faithfulness. Could be an area in our lives where maybe God's saying, oh man, I want to trust so much more with Jesse. Oh, I'd love to trust so much more with this guy and this girl and this husband, this wife, this young person. And this right now, what you're going through is an area of your life that God's saying, come on, stand strong. Come on, this is something and I've built you for. Don't, even though you're hanging on by a string, keep hanging on to the string. Don't let it go because God has got something significant for you. This season right now, you might be looking at other people succeeding and your life seems to be going in the opposite direction. Don't give up. Up on the dream that God has put inside of you. Don't throw in the towel in this season. It's not the stage to throw it all in. Don't quit on what God is doing inside of you. See, my wife and I moved to Thailand 2 years ago and we decided to learn the language. And for some reason or another, our teacher thinks it's great to put us in tests. I said, no. How about we listen to you speak Thai and we will learn it? She said, no deal, I'm the teacher. And she said, I'm going to give you tests along the way. And tests are there to show her how far we've come. Tests are there not only to show her how far we've got, but how far we've got to go. Yeah? Did you know God's tests in your life and my life are never there to take you out? You might be going through something right now and you think, this is, what on earth is going on here? It's not set up to take you off track, off the field, out of the game. It's set up to see how far God has brought you. It is seeing how far you've come in Him and to see what areas of our lives we need to grow in so that we're strong enough to carry what He has for us to carry. See, with God, He's a teacher and I'm the student. Every now and then, I like to try to be the teacher. And God very quickly corrects me and says, hey, hold on, mate. I'm in charge here. You're the student. You know, the teacher sets the time of the test, sets the subject of the test, and sets how long the test will go for, not the student. And so maybe there's things in our lives that we're facing and areas of our lives, and I say, God, why don't you test me in that area? It's because I'm good at that area. He's testing me in areas. Maybe you reacted this way to that. You're struggling in this area. I want to grow you. I want to develop you. I'm not taking you out. I want you to be more fruitful this year than you were last year. I want you to keep progressing on the plans and purposes I have for your life. Don't bail out and skip steps on the process that God has for you. Is that good? See, the test might be pruning and purifying, but it's never there to take you out. It's always there to lead you to fruitfulness in your life. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9 says, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia, we were under great pressure, far beyond any our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Who knows? This is a bad day right here. And then he says, indeed, we felt like we'd received the sentence of death. Man, but I love this. It says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. God has no problem with putting you and me in positions where we have to more heavily rely on Him. Did you know that? Sometimes I think, God, isn't following Christ, like when I gave my life to Jesus, isn't it just like skipping through the park and it's just like sunshine and, you know, everything's... No, God doesn't have a problem putting us in positions maybe where it brings us to our knees before God again, where we say, God, I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to do it out of my own strength. I need you more than I've ever needed you before. See, these people said it brought them to rely on God more than themselves. Hey, by the way, and He raises the dead. Hashtag, the God you serve and I serve, He raises the dead. So the God that you are giving your heart to, that you are relying on, isn't a God that can barely provide for you, who can barely get you through the test. He's a God that is able to raise the dead. He can do, if you don't think He can give you a job, He can raise the dead. You don't think He can restore your marriage, He can raise the dead. This is the God of the universe that we serve. See, this happened so that they would rely on God. God doesn't have issues with us going through those stages because He's building strength into our lives. See, I want fruitfulness without the pruning and without the process. I just say, God, provide everything for me. Give me all the blessings, all the fruitfulness. Yes, Lord. Yeah. And He says, deal. Let's get to work. People say to me all the time, I want to be used by God. After a couple of weeks, they get used by God. And then they say, I feel used. It's like, you want to serve God? You want to be a fruitful person? And then you have opposition, and then you have people say things to you. That's what it's like being serving God and using your gifts to serve God. Sometimes there'll be challenges along the way, and we have to build within us strength, not from ourselves, but from the God of the universe, who by His Holy Spirit will empower you, will strengthen you. Even when your legs are shaking, will give you the ability to say, I'm never giving up. I know that God has more for me. See, you need to have branches that can carry the fruit, because God will give you fruitfulness beyond your wildest dreams if you don't skip the steps that God's taking you on in 2017? A couple of areas you can't give up on. Write these down, just two quick areas. The first thing is never give up, even when it doesn't seem to be working. Sometimes you don't think, you can't see how God is working in your midst, but God is still moving and acting on your behalf. You think, this isn't how the promise or the dream was meant to. I was believing, I was praying, I thought it would work out much easier than I'm seeing right now. But today you need to hear, all the things that you've done, all the things that you've sown in are not in vain. Heaven is watching your life. Maybe you've even been tempted to give up in your life, and because of the things you can see, it's not always visible. God would say, don't give up. Stick to the process. Stick to the things that I've got for you, because progress in your life and my life isn't always visible. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Second area you need to not give up. Don't give up even when it gets difficult. See, there's an excitement with any new adventure. Planted a church 2 years ago. Man, we had a fan club. Woo, yeah, you guys are amazing. Wah, people clapping. I'm like, go down the journey. I'm like, where'd everyone go? Hey, there's excitement. There's a newness. There's a freshness to any area of your life. A new marriage, wow, it's so exciting. A new job, a new career, a new ministry. There's an excitement with anything that is beginning. But then as the journey goes on, there is processes, there's faithfulness, there's commitment, there's layers that God is building into your life. If you really want to look down the track and see a life that was completely committed and fruitful for Jesus Christ. See, I did a marathon 2 years ago. And I use this illustration all the time because I'm just like, yes, I did a marathon. And I started the marathon. Can I encourage every person here from the very back to the front? Everyone should start a marathon. Don't finish it. Just start. It's way easier. Trying to finish it is a different story, because when you start, there's bands playing. There's people, your family taking. Random strangers are high-fiving me. You're the man. I'm like, man, I'm a professional athlete. This is awesome. And so you're starting this marathon and you go into 10Ks and you kind of see the crowd fade away. Where is everyone? Where's the fans gone? 20Ks you're in, you're like, okay, my legs are starting to get sore. 30Ks, I'm like, this is the dumbest decision I've ever made. Who in their right mind would run this far for no reason? I paid them to run this far. No one paid me to do that. I paid them a lot of money so that I could just run randomly and torture my body. At 35 kilometers, I'm thinking, this is what hell is really like. There's going to be marathons all day where you're just going running up and down and your legs are like, ah. So eventually, I'm getting towards the end. I can barely move. This is the most challenging thing I have ever done. My wife said, you know what? It's unbelievable, because everyone gets a second wind at the end of a marathon, and they're running through like Chariots of Fire or Eye of the Tiger in the background, and they're just like, yeah, jump through the ribbon. They're high-fiving people all the way. But for me, she said, you didn't smile at all. She said, you were just in complete shock and terror, and you came to the finish line, and, you know, everyone's jumping, high-fiving, you know. You stepped over the line and stopped. I yelled, someone give me a chair. Please, I just need to sit down. I've been running for 4 hours. Somebody, please help me. See, you and I, can I tell you, the best thing we can do is not just be good at starting a race, but be determined, no matter the challenges, no matter the obstacles, I want to be someone that finishes the race. I don't cheer on Christians and people who start things, who begin them. I cheer people on when I can see them 20 years down the track continually serving God. And people in your church who I've met who said, I've been here 30 years. I love the house of God. Those are people that I think, man, I want to be someone that's not just a good starter. I want to be someone that continues enduring for God, because heaven is cheering us on, that we wouldn't throw in the towel in the middle of the process that God has us on. If I could invite the worship team up, your life and my life is much more a marathon in nature than a sprint. When it's hard, it's easy to give up. Plenty of people along the journey, you kind of look over your shoulder and you're like, where'd that guy go? Where's she? What happened? It's the easiest thing you can do is to throw in the towel. God, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how many times I've served these people. No one's grateful for the thing that maybe there's areas in your life and your heart right now. And God, doesn't matter if you're young or old, is still teaching us to guard our heart, to build character integrity, to prune areas of our lives so that we can be more fruitful. Friends, don't ask God to make your life easier. Ask Him to make you stronger. God wants to give you more. It won't necessarily mean He takes away every problem in your life. It could be that He makes you stronger on the inside to handle what He wants to give you. And the easy prayer is, say, God, take it away. God says, hold on, I'm teaching you. I'm developing faithfulness inside of you. One definition of quitting is simply to give up or to admit defeat. See, I want to tell you, maybe you came in today, you look defeated. Maybe you've even felt defeated. But don't admit defeat. Wanting to quit is not a problem. No issue. Don't feel bad. If you came in today and you felt like, if I'm honest, a few times I've wanted to give up. One of the great pastors of our generation, Tommy Barnett, said something that always stuck with me through every season, all the different times. He said, it's okay to want to quit. It's okay. Just know you never will. It's okay. You can come to the end of yourself and think, I don't have the strength. This area of my life, I just want to throw it in. I want to give up on this. My family, my marriage, my business, the kids, whatever it might be in your life, it's okay to want to, once in a while. Just know you never will. Say, God, I don't want to throw in the towel and miss out on the dreams and the purposes and the adventures that you have for me. I want to continue going for all that you've got in store for me. It says in Romans 15, 4 and 5, for everything that was written in the past, listen to this, was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we will have hope. Today, God wants to speak endurance into you. Don't be so soft and so nice. And sometimes as Christians, we can get some spiritual grunt where you go, it doesn't matter what's going on. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep believing for my son to know Jesus. I'm going to keep praying for my teacher. I'm going to keep believing that my grandkids will be worshiping Jesus in the house of God. I'm not giving up, because I know through the teaching in Scripture that endurance is found. Not only do the Scriptures give you and I endurance, they give us encouragement so that we may have hope. You can have hope in Christ today. Don't give up short on what God has for you. Hey, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you before we go. God hasn't left you or abandoned you. He's working on the unseen in your life. Decide no matter what. I might feel like it sometimes, but I'm not going to give up. I want to show you one picture before we go, then I'm going to pray for you. This picture is incredible. Wow. Two water bottles. And the first water bottle is full. The second water bottle, as you can see, if you can't see, the second one is empty. Let's say this is up in a plane, this shot. Two water bottles. Let's say the water bottle that's full is full of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Let's say this one is running on empty. You know what happens when you go up in a plane? Something called altitude, pressure changes. And all of a sudden, something that's empty with pressure on each side can start to crumble. You know, pressure has its greatest effect on your life and my life when we're empty on the inside. You can see people who are full of the Holy Spirit. God's inside of them. He is their strength. They are relying upon Him. And they can go through things that you think, how did they even survive? How are they still standing? How did they make it through the marriage, this, the business, the finances, the ridicule from family? How on earth are they still standing? I want to tell you, it's not because they're strong in their own strength. It's not because they got their own determination and said, oh, I'm so stubborn, I'm going to be more stubborn. Man, friends, that will last for a little while. It will start running dry pretty quick. But when you say the God of the universe is available to you and to me, and it says in the Bible, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say be filled once. Scripture says, it actually means keep being filled. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Yes, I love the Lord. It's very deep down, but when you're full of the Holy Spirit, joy comes back. Peace comes back. You can encourage other people. You can endure things that you couldn't do on your own. Don't be a good starter only. By all means, start some things, but make sure that you continue on. Hey, reach your hands to heaven. I'm going to pray in this moment, just for the next 20 seconds. You would be filled again. That the pressure on the side, from the left to the right, all over, wouldn't take you out. But because you're full of the Holy Spirit, you would rely more heavily on Him than yourselves. Close your eyes for a moment. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus that your Spirit is available. You are welcome here. I pray that you would rest right now, top of people's heads. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them up. Not half full, not three quarters. Receive now. He's filling people with His Holy Spirit right now, where you will walk out of this room different than you came. Because you've learned not to rely on your own strength. Not going to give up. Maybe I feel like it. I'm going to rely on a power so much greater than me. Power that can raise the dead. Fill every senior in this place. Any person who's felt dry or weary, refreshing rain upon them. It would be like a soil that's cracked would be beginning to be filled again. Young people who've started to have shaky legs, God, I pray you strengthen them from the inside out. Right here, right now. Just for one moment, put your hands down, close your eyes. I want to pray just for one more minute for one more group of people. Maybe you're here in church, haven't come to church before, you haven't been for a long time. And in the worship or the preaching or in some time within this meeting, you know God is speaking to you. Maybe you've given up on God, but He's never given up on you. The coolest thing about God is He won't push Himself into your life. He simply knocks on the door. All He says in Scripture is if you open the door, He'll come in and hang out. Come in and have a meal. God doesn't want to give you a set of rules, philosophy. He just actually wants to be your friend. Have a meal with you. Start a relationship with you. Maybe you're a long way from God. in all honesty with yourself and with God, you're not where you should be. Maybe for the first time in your life, you've never accepted Him. Or maybe today, you know that you know, I need to recommit my heart to God. Just while no one's looking around, please, just for privacy, if that's you, I'm going to quickly count to three. Simply, all I need you to do, put your hand up. You can put it straight down again, saying, Jesse, include me in what you're going to pray. Ready? One, two, three. Just pop your hand in the air. Yep, thank you here. Thank you. Anyone else? Yep, thank you here. Anyone else saying, yes, thank you, right over here at the back on my right. I just want to see your hand. Just pop it up again just so I can see because the light's up here. Thank you, right down the front here, right at the back. Awesome. Thank you over here. Best decision. Thank you at the front. Anyone else? 10 more seconds. Give you an opportunity. Don't leave without saying, I want to get my life right with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, church, just before we pray, can we give those five or so people the biggest, biggest, biggest? Over here, right over here, over here, over here. We love you. It's the best thing. I'd love to pray for you. And we're all going to pray this prayer. So just for a moment, close your eyes and repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again, taking away my sin and shame and giving me a brand new start. Thank you for coming into my heart, giving me your love and your grace. Today, I choose you. I want to live my life for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Hey, church, come on. Let's thank those people one last time.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.